Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Hello to the opening ceremony of the 2024 Summer Olympics. This evening in Paris, thousands of athletes parading 6 kilometres along the River Seine. A-list superstars expected to take to the stages. Rumours swirling that Celine Dion is going to make a musical comeback in a duet with Lady Gaga singing Edith Piaf's La Vie en Rose. Could it be much more French than that? Up to 1.5 billion spectators expected to watch the Olympics opening ceremony, either from the parade route along the Seine or on TV. And as you've just heard, Sarah Lavin and Shane Lowry get the honour of being our flag bearers. So for more on this, I'm joined on the line from Paris by former Irish Olympian slalom canoeist Hannah Craig. Good morning, Hannah.
Bonjour.
Oh, that's very good. But of course, you are a French resident, so it should be, shouldn't it?
Yeah, bien sûr. It's a great day. Great day to be in Paris.
Well, tell me about Paris right now, because even ahead of these attacks on the TGV, it seemed like it was quite muted with, you know, not an awful lot of activity in the city centre.
Yeah, I've definitely never seen Paris like this. It is very, very quiet in the city centre. There's a lot of zones. Anything close to the Seine is locked down to residents only and people with accreditations. So we've got to see Paris in a way that we'll never get to see again. It's definitely very strange, and a lot of police presence, as everybody's been talking about, that I've never seen.
And in addition to that, then, you have these attacks. What's the reaction been? Are people worried that it's not going to stop there?
We're not entirely sure. Just like you, we're following online where we are. It's extremely quiet. The metro was very quiet this morning getting in. Everything inside Paris feels very under control, security-wise. We can see all the steps being put into place. So inside Paris, it looks very quiet right now.
So Sarah Lavin, hurdler, Shane Lowry, obviously golfer, get the honour of being the flag bearers. Have we any news of reaction from them?
No, actually, there's going to be a ceremony at the Cultural Centre in Paris. So they will be having a ceremony that's about to happen in about half an hour's time, and all reactions will be got from them there. They're both two-time Olympians. Again, this is an extreme honour to be able to be the flag bearers of any country. And they will be on the boat tonight along with, 27 athletes in total will be on that boat tonight from Team Ireland. Mm.
Tell me about that moment as an Olympian and the parade, the opening ceremony. I mean, is it as big an honour as is talked about? Because, you know, on a more mundane level, you're just one of thousands of athletes on this parade.
Yeah, I think it's very personal for each and every athlete. At the end of the day, you're here for one thing and one thing only, that is to perform. And it's where the Olympic ceremony sits within your performance plan. For me, I was competing on day two in London. It was something that had strong meaning to me as an athlete. So with my performance psychologist, we made a plan months out as to if I was going to go, it had to fit. It had to do my performance justice. So we set out a plan. I knew it would be a high stimulation moment, but high stimulation moments can be really draining for an athlete as well. So the plan was to go into there. It was a historic moment for Ireland. Katie Taylor was going to be flag bearer. First time women's boxing was going to be on the Olympic program. And walking into that stadium, I will never, ever forget it. And it's such a unique moment because they held all the athletes together. We walked in and we were all together, and there was this real sense of global celebration that I don't think I'll ever experience again in my life. And however, it can be exhausting.
Well, that was what I was going to ask, was it a drain on your energy reserves, or was it motivation?
Yeah, so that was, it definitely lit up my Olympic fire. That there's no doubt about it. Like, I went into the Olympics ranked 52nd in the world. I made an Olympic finals, which was top 10. So it definitely lit something in me. However, the day after was almost dark room day, bring it right back down and getting your mind right into where it needs to be, which is the performance space.
As somebody who got to participate in that opening ceremony in London 2012, what are your feelings about this being the first Olympics that's not going to, the opening ceremony isn't going to take place in a stadium, but just in the city? Might it be missing that key sporting venue ingredient?
I think Paris, they've done something really special where they've transcended sport beyond sport. They're bringing sport, culture, music and people all together around a majestic city. I was reading an article in L'Equipe, which is a main sports newspaper in France, yesterday, explaining the 5 years of planning from what they've called l'idée folle, which is a crazy idea, to put it into practice. And it is incredible to read the layers of organizations, because first of all they had to have agreement with the police, that they, because that was always going to be the number one thing. The inspiration came from a youth Olympic Games in Argentina in 2018, where they had actually brought it out of the stadium for the first time. They're like, that looks good. So they had considered the Champs-Élysées, but then they're like, been there, done that in 1998 with our football team. And apparently the person who had the idea was sitting, standing on a bridge in the Seine, and they're like, I know what we're going to do. We're going to make a scene on the Seine. And that's how the idea came about. And it's definitely extremely ambitious. There's no way around it. Like, 5 years of planning for a 2.5 to 3 hour ceremony is a high investment. However, I think it's one we will never forget.
And in terms of who is actually going to be there, if Celine Dion is performing, I suppose there's a kind of an appropriate Olympic theme there of triumph in the face of adversity when you consider what she's trying to overcome.
Yeah, and I also think, so Celine Dion is French-Canadian, and we arrived in France as a family in 1992, and Celine Dion was just really starting to build, but she was first built herself as a French singer. She sang predominantly in French before she hit the international scene and started moving into singing in English. So she has a really strong relationship with France, and France love her. And I don't know if in the French-Canadian accent is a really unique accent, and people love hearing her talk. So French are in love with her. They've adopted her. They'll call her French probably from this point onwards. But it will be great to see her on the stage. And yeah, what a duo, Lady Gaga, Céline Dion singing La Vie en Rose by Edith Piaf. I think it's going to be so unique.
A word on expectations that we all have of our Olympians. A bit of a sort of a salutary tale now in what happened in the Rugby Sevens yesterday, and that while we have every legitimate expectation of a pretty significant medal haul, we need to temper those aspirations, don't we?
I keep on telling people the Olympic Games, anything can happen. We have 133 athletes. We have athletes for who it's going to be their fifth Olympics. We have athletes who are 16 and it's their first Olympics. And it's really understanding that while you go to World Championships, while you go to European Championships, your rules are the same, your sport is the same, who you compete against is the same, but the environment is completely different. There's an extra level of stimulation, there's an extra level of excitement. Some people expand, some people shrink. And I think it's really understanding that as well, the margins, like even the rugby yesterday, it's a split second decision can shift it from winning a match to losing a match. And that's the knife edge all athletes are on, is split second decisions.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us, Hannah. It all starts on television at what time this evening?
Oh, 6:30 p.m. Irish time. And just before we head off, a really important one for me is this is the first ever 50-50 Olympics. So this is the first time we're going to have very close to the same number of female athletes as male athletes. So 49.4%, and that is a historic moment for the Olympic movement and for sport, full stop. And Team Ireland is right up there with 49.6% female athletes. I think that's a really important piece. And the women's marathon as well is going to close these Olympics, and there's a symbolic there where there was a women's march during the French Revolution. They marched to Marseille to hold Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette accountable. And Louis XVI then signed what was the Human Rights Declaration at the time off the back of that. So there's a lot of symbolic gestures here that are really important, that have context in history, but also now.
really nice resonance there. Well, Hannah, bonne chance et merci beaucoup. And thank
De
you very
rien.
Much. We'll talk to you
merci.
Again during the course of the next 2 weeks.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.